but sometimes it does. One person, and for them it's a lonely existence. It's June 5th, 1989. A man stands solitary in Tiananmen Square in Beijing. He stands facing a column of massive Chinese tanks moving in the day after hundreds and perhaps thousands of student protesters were killed. The man, whose identity is still unknown to us today, stands in front of the tanks holding nothing more than what looks like a shopping bag. In the grainy video, he looks like a man just going home from work at the end of a long day who decides enough is enough. The official report about the incident later on described the man as, quote, a gangster who tried to stop a car with his bare hands. According to their reports, he was charged with political hooliganism. They called him a scoundrel. Just one single person standing up against a ruler. It's not every time that the cause of the powerless seems to rest on the shoulders and the courage of one person willing to risk their lives against all odds and against all power. But sometimes it is. The single person does not always prevail. Sometimes they are crushed by the system in body or in spirit. Sometimes they are outlasted by the grinding machine and relentless force of those in authority. Sometimes there's a cross. But in a world that seems to reward the foolishness of the powerful, there stands Elijah. Ahab came to the throne of northern Israel in 874 BC. Ahab was a bad king. Have you ever heard someone described as just the worst? You may have even said it yourself about someone. He's just the worst. The Bible says this in its own words. This is how the Bible says that phrase in 1 Kings 16. Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him, as if it were a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam. In other words, in Bible speak, this guy, he's the worst. Why was Ahab the worst? He married Jezebel, the daughter of a foreign king, thus forging an unholy alliance between two nations. Jezebel's name literally means "where's Baal," which anticipates the storm that would hang over their reign of Israel. Where's Baal? Baal was there too. Baal was a Canaanite god whose worship Baal brought with her into Israel, though she didn't have to try very hard. They were eager to welcome Baal. Though Yahweh, Israel's Lord God, had said, "You shall have no other gods before me," Israel was always peeking over the backyard fence at their neighbor's deities to see what they might offer, especially Baal, the god of storms, of thunder and lightning and power. Baal's exciting. Baal's the kind of god you want your god to be. He's not particularly complicated. Unleashing the lightning and thunder of human power on the landscape of nations, cities, and towns. But he was not Israel's Lord God. And this was a problem. The way of Baal is exciting and enlivening. It gets the heart racing faster to gain and use power, especially when divinely sanctioned. Yahweh was just always so inconvenient. Yahweh could also exhibit power, but it seems like it was always being directed on behalf of the powerless, and they're always inconvenient. How many times in the Old Testament you see laid bare what worship and service of Yahweh is supposed to look like? Freeing slaves from Egypt, expecting people to care for widows and orphans and sojourners in the land, doing justice, loving kindness, walking humbly with your God, the prophets unleashed to speak truth of mercy to the rulers of power. Just over and over, these inconvenient, idealistic, countercultural things always insisted upon by Yahweh. This is what it means to worship their one true God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes people got confused about which God was which and which they were supposed to be serving. Ahab, king of Israel, was not confused. Ahab served Baal and worshiped him. This line from 1 Kings 16. Ahab served Baal and worshiped him. The joint force of those two verbs. To worship Baal was to erect altars and build sanctuaries and participate in liturgies and offer prayers in Baal's name. To serve Baal was to order your life by Baal's way, which is the use of power for the benefit of the powerful. A Baal theology says God wants powerful people to use their power to ensure the supremacy of the powerful. A Baal theology says weakness is human, strength is divine. A Baal theology says the means justify the ends, and religion's influence is enhanced when married to the state's authority. Ahab worshiped and served Baal. Moreover, Baal comes with a friend, Asherah, a goddess, the divine agent of life, Baal's consort in the pantheon of Near Eastern deities. The unholy alliance of Baal and Asherah together was the promise of life by the amassing and use of power for any means necessary for the purpose of benefiting the powerful. The way of Baal and Asherah together was always a temptation for the people of Israel, even those whose life was ordered and gifted by Yahweh, the God of Israel. It's like Israel said, great, love the Lord your God. But you know, Baal has a point too. The Yahweh stuff doesn't really work in the real world. I mean, it can get you hung on a cross. Wouldn't you rather be on a throne than on a cross? King Ahab and Queen Jezebel did, and they were willing avatars for Baal and Asherah. And then, just then, God raises up Elijah. You remember Elijah. A 42-year-old black woman boards a bus in Montgomery, Alabama. She sits and refuses to give up her seat to a white man who boards the bus after her. The bus driver, the police, the state, the culture squared off against one single solitary woman who was tired of giving in. Baal rages at her, "You're troubling all America." She replies, "No, you troubled America. I felt that if I did stand up, it meant that I approved of the way I was being treated, and I did not approve." Elijah is amongst us as long as the way of Baal thunders and the way of God does not approve. Elijah challenged Ahab, "Meet me at Mount Carmel." And so 400 prophets of Baal and 450 prophets of Asherah showed up to rumble. Elijah, the man of God, stood alone. It's not always that the way of God is on the shoulders of one man or one woman, but sometimes it is. It's not always that a single individual stands against the world, but sometimes they do. Elijah stood alone, and he felt alone. And yet his courage and faith in God gave him strength. At Elijah's instruction, each side set up a bull on an altar to invoke your God to accept the sacrifice by sending down fire from heaven. Well, this was right up Baal's alley, the god of thunder and lightning and power. I mean, just imagine if Elijah had challenged the people of Baal to a contest of who could love the immigrant more, or who can show more mercy, or who can show more love. It wouldn't have even been a fair competition. The way of Baal doesn't even include compassion for the immigrant, or orphans, or widows, or anyone who needed a hand up or welcomed into a community of compassion. And there might be some lip service, but with Baal, there is no systemic commitment of the rich and powerful to the welfare of anyone other than the rich and powerful. And so Elijah set this up and tipped all the scales to Baal. Let's make this about thunder and lightning and fire. And so Baal's prophets took the opportunity and they danced around and begged all day long. And Elijah just sat there dishing out trash of a biblical proportion. Everything okay over there, guys? Is he missing? Maybe he's in the bathroom. Maybe he fell asleep. And they raved and raged all day long. But then in this like devastating conclusion to the episode, there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. Elijah's turn. The solitary one standing alone. You remember Elijah? Elena Osipova is called the conscience of St. Petersburg. An artist and teacher by education, Osipova for 20 years has been protesting wars and the Russian government. In 2022, she picketed against Russia's invasion of Ukraine. She said, "I went out with a feeling of complete hopelessness, but I was encouraged and inspired by people. I managed to stand there a long time before the police took me away. They told me not to appear on the street again, but she did, and she still does." Art is the medium of this grandmother of peace, as they call her. She draws posters on cardboard and holds the signs on the streets until she's arrested. She said, "I went out with a poster with a blindfolded soldier on it. His mother takes away his weapon and says, 'Don't go to this war, son. Soldier, throw down your weapon. Don't shoot and you'll be a real hero.'" She said, "It's better to go to court than to kill peaceful Ukrainians." She says, "The fate of Russia is being decided and the fate of the whole world too. Maybe the horror that happened will allow something to be turned around. I try to believe and give people hope. How else can we live?" she asks. Elijah set up 12 stones around his bull on his altar and asked them that water be poured over it once, twice, three times, and then he prayed, and when he prayed, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and licked the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." Not everyone was convinced. Not everyone was converted. Jezebel was none too happy with him. She threatened to end his life by tomorrow night, and Elijah fled. To the wilderness and all the way to Mount Sinai, to a cave where, like Moses, he hid from the world and from God. But God found him there as Elijah stood alone at the mouth of the cave. There was a wind and an earthquake and a fire, but God was not in the wind, not in the earthquake, not in the fire. God was in what happened next. An untranslatable word, an unexplainable mystical encounter of God in the silence, the still small voice, God and the emptiness, God and the nothingness and the loneliness of fear and uncertainty, and that experience of the courageous who act in faith in the face of power and feel all alone. What have I just done? People wondered if Jesus was Elijah returned to them. Jesus had this courage. He practiced the way and worship of God with such compassion and such courage. He stood up to the Baals and Asherahs of his day, the Pilates and Herods and power that sought power for the sake of the powerful. They wondered about him. Are you Elijah? When the grandmother of peace, Elena Osipova, was a child, she went to this museum with her parents, and she loved one painting in particular called The Appearance of Christ to the People by an artist named Alexander Ivanov. Now, I confess I'd never heard of this painting, so I looked it up. The painting, The Appearance of Christ to the People, which so shaped the way and worship and life of Osipova, was and is a depiction of John the Baptist and a gathering of other characters in the foreground of the composition. In the distant background, but centered in the composition of the painting, is a very small figure coming toward them from the horizon. Christ is on his way. Christ coming toward them and toward you in the painting. Christ is very small, certainly compared to the gathering of the world's people to whom he's coming, but he's coming. And I think that image of Christ alone is what gives Osipova courage and hope and her lonely vigil for peace. God found Elijah small and alone in a cave in the wilderness and then sent him back. Your work is not done. And it's still not done. And so, for Elena Osipova and for Rosa Parks, and for a lonely man standing in front of war machines, for Elijah, for all of those who in the moment of trial have no other gods before God, who love the Lord God with heart and soul and mind and strength, for all those who give us hope that Christ is coming because Christ shines in them, thanks be to God. In the face of overwhelming, relentless violence of Baal and the enticing temptations to worship and serve such power, may Christ come to us and come alive in us. And may God in Christ come to us and cast from us the evil spirits that inhabit us, whose name is Legion. May God cast Baal from among us into the depths of hell. And there, when Christ has come, even when it feels lonely and singular. May the church in this world worship and serve the Lord God. May our name be literally translated, "Where is God? He is here." Amen.